And this morning we'll be in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse number 10. Second Timothy 3, verse 10, the Bible says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Let's stop right there and let's pray this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege to open up your word today. We're asking that your Holy Spirit would take your word and apply it to our hearts. Lord, would you fill me with your spirit, give me liberty and boldness to just preach your truth today. And I pray that your word would have free course to work in the hearts of your people today. Would you hinder any work of the enemy that would seek to distract or deceive or take away from these moments? But Lord, may you have your way in all of our hearts today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul has been telling Timothy about the last days. And we talked about that last week, that in these last days there would be perilous times, hard times, devilish times, wicked times, troublesome, dangerous times. And we looked at all the characteristics of the last days, and it sounded like we were reading the morning newspaper, to be honest with you. The reality is we are living in those last days. Now, some might say we're living in the last days of the last days. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ could come back at any moment. Any moment he could come before this meeting is even finished. And so the Bible tells us in preparation to that, building up to that, the Bible says that the world is going to get worse and worse. Things are going to get more evil, more wicked. And we looked at some of those things last week, and we talked about how the world is going to be marked by apostasy. Apostasy is people that profess a religious structure, that have a label that maybe they call it Christian, on the structure, on the surface, but the substance of it is not Christian at all. That's what the world is going to be marked by. There's going to be not a taking away of religion, but no, the world is going to get more religious. But it's not going to be based on the Bible, that's for sure. No, it'll be based on emotionalism. It'll be based on the things that man's flesh desires most. Our pride. Our sense of what we own and our health and our wealth. It's going to appeal to all those things of the flesh, but not the things of the Spirit. It's going to be marked by apostasy. Paul warned that there would be difficult times, wickedness and reprobates would run wild. But look at what he says in verse number 9. He says, "But they shall proceed no further." And that little word, that little conjunction, "but," changes the entire picture for us. You see, God is putting the brakes on it, you could say. He says, "But they shall proceed no further." You remember back in Genesis chapter 6 when the Lord was looking down on his creation, on man, and he saw that there was nothing but evil continually. He saw the thoughts and the imaginations of men, and he said, "Man, they're so wicked." And he even got to the point where he said, "I need to just destroy them all." And God was lamenting the sinfulness of our society. But then we get to Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, and the Bible gives one simple conjunction, one interjection into the story. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of God." That one interjection kind of changed the entire picture. And by the way, that's why we're here. That's why we're still here this morning. Amen. Thank God for Noah and his family. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that word "but" changed the whole picture. That word "but" brings life. It breathes hope and optimism. It breathes into us the fact, the expectation, that in the midst of all this wickedness and degradation, God is still doing something. In the midst of all of the worldliness and the apostasy, God has not taken his hands off of the situation. God has not washed his hands clean of it. He's still doing something. And that gives hope for us. Otherwise, we might as well pack up the doors, right? Otherwise, why are we even meeting here? It's all over, right? But the Bible says they shall proceed no further. And I think what the Bible is saying here is that God still has a plan. There's going to come a point where God restricts them. Some have noted, Bible teachers have noted, that in this passage there's five conjunctions where God interjects. We see in verse 9 the first conjunction of restriction, but they shall proceed no further. In verse 10, we see the conjunction of testimony. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, and so on. In verses 11 and 12, we see the conjunction of deliverance. Paul was able to say, even in the middle of all of his trials, but out of them all, God delivered me. Verse 13 is the conjunction of discernment. There's going to be seducers waxing worse and worse that are deceiving people. And verse 14, there's the conjunction of perseverance. But continue. And that's what I want to preach on this morning. God says, but continue. God doesn't say, just pack it all up. Just throw in the towel. Give up. Give in. Lay down your arms. Surrender. God says, continue. And so my call for us this morning, and preaching to myself also, is may we not ever get to that place where we get tired of standing on the truth, where we get tired of serving the Lord, where we get weary and bogged down and we think that, you know what, what's the use? What's the point? Because it can be so easy to do that. That's why Paul has to tell Timothy this. That's why God has to tell us this. God is telling us this because that's what we normally think, is we're ready to give up. And God says, but continue. And I'm so thankful that in the midst of so much turmoil, that Paul literally looks the evilness of the day dead in the eyes. He looks the evil dead on and says, I'm going to continue. He doesn't run from it. He doesn't hide from it. He says, continue pressing on. Continue going forward. Christian, we must continue. How are we to continue? Number one, look to the biblical signposts. Look to the biblical signposts. You know, signposts are reassuring. I've done my fair share of driving. I used to go to college in Tennessee, and I'd have to drive 12 hours, about 730 miles down there and back. When my wife and I got married, we drove clear across the country from San Francisco area to here in New York. And I've driven through the Midwest and up and down the South, the East Coast. And you know what? Signposts are reassuring. You're driving down I-95. You want to make sure, am I still on I-95? I'm supposed to be going south. I hope I'm not heading to Ohio or some other. I hope I'm not heading to Canada or something, right? I hope I make sure I'm heading in the right direction. And when we see a signpost, aha, yes, we're on the right track. Signposts are reassuring. They help to guide us on our path. And Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 10, but thou hast fully known. He's saying, Timothy, you have carefully, purposefully, intentionally followed and learned these things. And the first thing he mentions, thou hast fully known my doctrine. My doctrine. Doctrine is very important. Very simply, doctrine is teaching. Doctrine answers the question, what does the Bible tell me? That's all it is. Some people run from doctrine. They're scared and they think, oh, I have to have some kind of a PhD if I'm going to study doctrine. No, my friends, just come to Sunday school. You'll learn doctrine. Amen. Amen. Just come faithfully to church. Read the Bible. Ask God to open up your eyes. You'll learn Bible doctrine. Doctrine answers the question, what does the Bible tell me? See, doctrine tells us, when we read the Bible, study the Bible, it tells us who God is. Yes, creation reveals who God is. We can look at the creation and how beautiful and marvelous and how orderly it is, and we can say someone created this, someone designed this. But creation is very general. The Bible is specific. It tells me exactly who God is. And can I just say this? If you have a lack of Bible knowledge, you really have a lack of knowledge of who God is. And if you're the type of person that you make Bible reading a priority and Bible study a priority and learning and growing, then guess what? You're just going to learn and grow in who God is. Isn't that what it's all about? So we need to know who God is. That means we need to know Bible doctrine. But then the Bible also tells me who I am. The Bible tells a lot about what kind of man I am, what kind of woman you are. The Bible tells me that I'm a sinner, that I'm depraved, that I'm lost. The Bible tells me that I have a sinful nature that drives me away from God. That's what the Bible tells me who I am. Oh, some people don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. And if you don't think it's true, just ask your husband or your wife. They'll explain. Yes, you are a sinner, honey. Just ask mom and dad, am I a sinner? Yes, Johnny. Yes, Junior, you're a sinner. The Bible tells us who we are. The Bible also tells us what God desires for our lives. The Bible says, yes, we're lost and depraved in our sin, but God has reached down in His grace to give us a way of salvation, to reconcile us again to Him. God's will is revealed through His Word. Someone said, I don't know what God wants me to do. I want to find God's will for my life. Well, the Bible reveals the will of God. Get in the book. Start studying. Start reading. Start digging. So doctrine now has fully known my doctrine. And in this age, in this time of so much wickedness and turmoil all around us, in this age where we know it's not getting better and better, it's getting worse and worse, now more than ever, we need churches, we need pastors, we need Sunday school teachers, we need parents, we need all Christians to make Bible study a priority. We need a revival of studying the Bible in this day and age today. There's a lot of Christians who think they know the Bible, they really don't. They're deceived, they're being tossed about by every wind of doctrine. We need a revival of getting back to what does God say? What's the doctrine? So Paul says, thou hast fully known my doctrine. But then he takes it also a step further. Thou hast fully known my manner of life. Paul did not merely teach Timothy certain things in an academic sense. Timothy learned some things by following Paul's example. You know, that's a lesson that I'm learning. Is that it's not about the message that you preach or the things that you get up and say publicly. It's the example that you set. I'll tell you something about Pastor Barker just being under his ministry for all these years and being saved and reached through his ministry. I couldn't tell you one specific message that, wow, that really just changed my life. But I can tell you his example made a big difference in my life. His example as a pastor, as a leader of men and women. His example as a married man and as a father. And we can all think of people in our lives that it's not necessarily what they say, it's what they do. We say, wow, their example is powerful. See, our example is everything. It's our influence. So I don't care how smooth and charming you are when you speak to people and talk to people about the Lord or try to invite them. If your example is shot, then you have no influence. If they all know you're a liar, you're a cheat, if they all know you're a vagrant, if they all know you're just some wicked man, some hypocrite, it doesn't matter what you say. See, Paul, his message would have been for naught if his example wasn't what it was. So Timothy could look to Paul and say, oh, he's preaching it, but he's also living it. Thou hast fully known my manner of life. Some things can be taught, but some things must be caught.